Hello and welcome to What the Faux Travel Podcast with Nick and Amy. This is series 4, episode 4, and it's all about the real Brazil. Essa novinha é terrorista, é especialista. Olha o que ela faz no baile funk com as amigas. Essa novinha é terrorista, é especialista. Olha o que ela faz no baile funk com as amigas. Olha Hey guys, welcome to our second installment of Brazil, and it needs it for sure. It's such a huge country. Our regular listeners will know that we've already done a Brazil episode. That was the more common backpacker areas, shall we say. And this one is all about the lesser traveled parts of Brazil, so it should be interesting. So our regular listeners, welcome back. Thanks for joining us again. If you're new to the show, then turn it off now. We don't want any new people joining this late, all right?
No, just F off.
Right, like I said, Brazil part two. Here we go. So should we start with a little mini update as we normally do?
Yeah, well, I was going to actually start by saying, bem-vindo ao Brasil.
Oh, you should have said that right at the start.
Oh, I suck. Basically, I'm not going to talk English for the rest of the episode. Eu vou falar em português.
Amy reckons she's Brazilian. Like, you guys know from episode one, the first Brazil episode, that we love Brazil, and we still do. It's still our favourite country after going again. Amy reckons she's Brazilian. She wants to live there. You can speak a bit of Portuguese, can't you?
I do. Well, I try. So we'd been to Brazil for like a month before this trip, and then we did an extra 3 months. So by the end of the 3 months, I was having conversations in Portuguese, which I didn't think would ever happen. But basically, I'm divorcing Nick and I'm moving to Brazil because, you know.
Why is the divorce necessary? I'll come with you.
Well, every time I mention it, you don't really get as excited as I'd like you to be.
All right, yeah, this is something Amy tells everyone. I really want to live in Brazil, but I've got to convince Nick first. At what point have I ever said I won't do it?
Well, why don't we live there now? That's my point.
Because, good segue into where we are now, because we are now in Mexico.
In Mexico.
Which is very exciting. Now, this whole big round the world trip that we're doing that you guys know about really was based around two things. One was Carnival in Brazil. Done. Tick.
Tick that baby off.
Second, Day of the Dead in Mexico, which as we record this now is in about 3 months' time. So we have 3 months to see the whole of Mexico, which we're very excited about. We're currently in Cancun, you know, the real tourist part, it's probably not real Mexico, if you know what I mean. I know Mexicans live here, obviously, but we've been told Cancun's not really all that. But we've been here 2 or 3 days and already we're having a good time.
Damn, they have some good tacos.
We're just loving the food. And I think the food's going to get better as we go, but we're happy already.
Anyway, we'll talk about that on the Mexico episode. For now, this is going to be my favourite hour of my life because we just got to talk about Brazil. And I just love Brazil, guys.
Get a room.
Honestly, right. So like Nick said, we do actually have another episode about Brazil. So if you haven't listened to that yet and you're about to go maybe, or you want some advice on Brazil, on that episode, we talk about Rio de Janeiro, Sao Paulo, Paraty, Ilha Grande, however you want to say it, and Iguazu Falls as well. Any other part, basically, that we've traveled already will be on this episode.
What Amy said before, that's the backpacker route. So we're going off-road now.
Right, now in this mahoosive Brazil episode, we are going to be talking about Fortaleza, Jericoacoara, Morro Branco, Natal, Recife, Porto de Galinhas, Maragogi, Aracaju, Salvador, Chapada Diamantina, Belo Horizonte, Florianópolis. They're the destinations we're talking about, but we're going to be talking to you about food, and it changes in so many different states. You know, Bahia, it's spicy, and then like other places, it's different. We talk about that. We talk about our couch surfing host and all the incredible things they taught us, interviews from all of those people. Plus, we play a commentary game, a football commentary, Comentário do Futebol. I think that's what it's called. So much to go through with you guys, honestly. And then to top it all off, the cherry on top, right at the end, Nick is going to give us an absolute gem. I mean, I'm not even going to tell you what it is. It's a surprise, but he's going to do something at the end that is amazing. I don't really know what word to use. In fact, I'm going to give you a 3-second clip. Listen to this.
I can eat some now or later on. I think about you.
And that's all I'm giving you. Right, let's kick off the episode.
Can we please start with two shout outs? Because we have two lovely emails.
Absolutely.
The first one is from Alan Baxter. He said, "Hey, long time listener and first time to write in. Love the podcast. Keeps me amused on my boring days at work. You're also an inspiration to try and change career and travel more." Yeah, that, you know, nice. Obviously we talk about traveling a lot, but we do talk about that we're trying to make this our job as well. He also said, especially love the Brazil and Argentina episodes you had, as me and my now wife traveled to many of the same places you went to. Ilha Grande, and Buenos Aires were great. Rio might have been the best though. We even went to the same favela tour as us, Favela Phoenix, and got a tour from Jody. It was amazing. He also said that Jody remembers us.
Oh, that's cool. So yeah, that again, that was on our first Brazil episode where we went through the favelas. It was very cool.
Yeah, Jody, our tour guide, lives in the favela, biggest favela in the world, and he's from Cornwall in England. But really interesting story, good guy. Go and listen to the first episode now. Turn this one off, like I said. Alan also said, keep up the great work. Enjoy the Instagram stories as well. That's another good point.
Lovely.
Follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, I was just going to say, nice little segue that. Follow us at What The Faux Podcast. There you go.
At What The Faux Pod. Yeah, that's right. And we also heard from Greg Logan. Greg said, "Hi, I'm Greg from Edinburgh and I'm a massive fan of the podcast. You guys produce amazing content that genuinely inspires me to travel and experience as much as life as possible." That's great to hear, Greg. He said he was wondering if we had any advice. "I've just finished university and I'll be starting a graduate scheme soon. I know I have to be patient and wait my time to travel full time. So how did you guys manage to stay patient and focused on that goal and not simply blow it all on a quick trip?" He also then says, "Thanks for continuing to inspire me. P.S. Have a faux party in Scotland soon."
We do need to have a new faux party.
We've been talking about it. There's some ideas. We're not sure how possible they are, but yeah. There will be more faux parties. I have messaged back Greg to give him some advice. And yeah, it is difficult, but you just got to think it's all going to be worth it when you have that big trip. If it's in a year or two, it will be worth it. Keep saving.
Keep on pushing on and like just get as much travel content as you can in your life so that you can keep inspiring yourself to save. Like, you know, listen to What The Faux Travel Podcast. Or, you know, if you want to watch something, watch What The Faux What The Faux Travel Productions on YouTube.
You can watch us now.
And while I'm saying that, you could go on to YouTube right now, put in What The Faux Travel Productions. I keep forgetting the name.
What was our name?
Because it's that new. What The Faux Travel Productions. And follow us, subscribe, hit the bell, all that jazz. And yeah, our videos of all this trip are all going up. You know, got Egypt, Jordan, tons of Brazil content in there, the
Israel,
Galapagos Islands,
Palestine,
Israel, Palestine,
Turkey,
Ecuador, you know,
Bolivia.
Colombia. There's so much, so you need to subscribe.
Right,
done.
Let's get on with Brazil, shall we?
Absolutely. Eu amo Brasil.
Oh God, this is going to be an annoying hour.
Let's kick off with a brief overview of our trip. So we're just going to name the places and then we'll go through it later. Don't worry if you don't know where these places are. We didn't know either. We actually kind of went to the northeast of Brazil thinking we don't know anything about this region. We don't know if it's even worth visiting, but let's go find out. And it was probably like my favorite time of traveling. For 3 months, we didn't have a bad day. Like every day was brilliant. Food, brilliant. People, brilliant. Language, brilliant. Beaches, brilliant. Like you,
weather,
like,
brilliant.
Weather, brilliant. Like it was amazing. So the places that we stopped at were
Fortaleza,
Jericoacoara,
Morro Branco,
Natal,
Recife,
Porto de Galinhas,
Maragogi,
Aracaju,
Salvador,
Chapada Diamantina,
Belo Horizonte,
Florianópolis.
Mate, that's a lot of places. And there might be one or two there that people recognise. But yeah, before this trip, we hadn't heard of most of those places.
No. So let's kick off with Fortaleza. Now, a day before we had arrived, we were in Sao Paulo with our friends. And as we got on our flight, they text us and we didn't get it until we'd arrived. But they were like, guys, don't want to like scare you or anything, but there's been some terror attacks in Fortaleza. And obviously, you know, that's no laughing matter. So we were a bit freaked out. So we got as much information as we could, checked it out. And what had happened is, so when we were in the country just a few days previous, there was a new president elected and his name is Bolsonaro. And he is very, very much disliked in Brazil. So, you know, we travelled all the way around and we still cannot work out who voted for him.
Yeah, it must be because we spoke to young people who don't like him. Obviously,
maybe.
Yeah, obviously a lot of people voted for him because he bloody won. But controversial character.
Very controversial. And so there were some activist groups that were kind of playing out in the state of Ceará, which is where Fortaleza is. It's the capital of Ceará. And nobody was hurt, nobody was killed. It was just, you know, they were attacking government buildings and bus companies, but luckily no one was hurt and it was just kind of to attack the government, not the general public. So it was all okay and we still set out to do the same plan that we had originally had.
Yeah, so we were fine. We didn't see any evidence of any problems at all. We were told though, with or without these attacks, Fortaleza can be a dangerous place. We don't know how seriously to take people when they say that because we've been almost everywhere around South America. Every time we get to a new country or a new city, people always tell us the same thing. Be careful there, it's dangerous. I'm not exaggerating, all of South America. So you start to get a bit desensitized to it. But you know, I'm sure people have a point. They obviously have a reason to say these things. But we were told Fortaleza is a bit dangerous and that you have to get Uber everywhere. There was one occasion we walked to a supermarket and we felt fine, but we were the only people on the street, weren't we?
Yeah, at this point, we didn't actually know about the whole Uber rule, but we took a walk to the supermarket to buy some food that we could cook. And yeah, it was just a bit eerie. And people were just really staring at us. And I just thought, you know, they don't get many foreigners here. That's okay. I don't mind them staring. But actually, looking back, it was just because people were probably looking at us thinking, why are these crazy gringos just walking around?
Yeah, and I think the safety issue just comes from the fact that the state we're in, Ceará, is one of the poorer states in Brazil. So, you know, with that does come crime. But we were completely fine. The city itself, I wouldn't say there's much there to see, to go to. We were there to visit Jericoacoara, which is nearby, which we'll talk about soon. But the one good thing I want to say about Fortaleza, and this goes for all of Brazil, we wanted to get some lunch one day, found a restaurant by the beach, got an Uber there, and like you can't lose with the food in Brazil. It's always, well, it's normally always like a buffet style lunch, but top quality food. And we had a lovely feijoada lunch, which you guys know from our other Brazil episode. We're obsessed with this food. We had a great feijoada lunch. There was live music playing, great weather, and we're by the beach.
And just in case you don't know what feijoada is, very quickly, it's a meat stew with rice, and sometimes you have orange on your plate as well with some greens. It's a bit like kale, but it's kind of cut into strings. Really good. But yeah, it's like a meat stew. Basically, if you're looking to do the northeast of Brazil, then we would recommend Fortaleza as a place to fly into. That's what we did. It's the cheapest place to fly into because it's the capital of Ceará, the state. So yeah, I'd say fly into there, but max, absolute max, 2 days is a good kind of jumping off point.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people would probably arrive in Fortaleza and then get a bus straight to Jericoacoara, which is a very popular holiday place, mainly with Brazilians and people from around South America. I think we saw a lot of Argentinians there, but it's a place I think that's unheard of in Europe. We didn't know anyone that had been there before. We read in some sort of travel guide. Remember we had that South America book? Obviously, your friend Adam bought us that book.
Yeah, Adam bought us that.
And I saw it, and it, from the description, it looked like a great hippie town by the beach. Not many people know about it. I thought it would be a backpacker's paradise. And it kind of was, but it wasn't a secret. The whole of South America know about it, so it was very busy. But the cool thing about Jeri, as the locals call it, see, I'm Brazilian as well.
Yeah.
Cool thing about Jeri is the whole town is built on sand dunes.
Yeah, it's super cool. Yeah, well, I don't really know what else to say about that. You just kind of walk around and it's all sand.
Which is strange for a town, you know, in the town centre, everywhere you go, there's sand. But the coolest part is when you first arrive on the jeeps.
That's
isn't it?
Very true. So when you get the bus to Jericoacoara, they drop you off near this like petrol station and everybody then jumps in the jeeps because the bus can't go over the roads that go into Jeri. As you go through, you go down this like dirt road, then you start driving through all of the sand dunes. And if it's around a time that it's been raining, there'll be kind of rivers around you as well. You might know there's a place called Lençóis, which is just a bit further north by about 3 or 4 hours. And yeah, Lençóis is the really famous place where you have the massive sand dunes and the pools of water at certain times of the year. We were there around January because we were in Jerry for my birthday. So that time of year was summer for them and they didn't have all the water and the rain. So
it's a shame.
Yeah, it was a shame. We definitely were going to go back to Lençóis to see it. Like, the pictures look photoshopped. It looks crazy.
Oh, Google it. Google Brazil water sand dunes. Lençóis. It looks incredible.
Yeah, it really does. We'll go back to Brazil for that. I mean, I want to live there, so it'll be fine. Yeah, so we stayed in Jericoacoara. That was kind of the most north that we went. And it's one of those places that you actually have to pay a tax to enter and stay. So you just go up to, it's a bit like a border control type thing. You know, they've got the army there and whatnot. So yeah, you just pay like, I don't even know what it was, like $1, $2 per day or something. It really wasn't much. And we were traveling on a budget and I remember being not that annoyed at it.
Yeah, because it's a national park, isn't it? So the whole time you're staying in the town, you're inside a national park. And one of the main things to do there, apart from relax on the beach and there's some sand dunes where people watch the sunset, you can book all sorts of tours that take you around the whole national park just to see some of the sights that are around. Like, that's what you do there. I'd probably recommend just relaxing on the beach because it is a holiday town. The prices are more expensive than you'd expect, especially compared to the rest of northeast Brazil. But I'm glad we went. It was good. I really liked Jerry.
Yeah, and again, if you're looking to do a trip like this, I would recommend, I'd say this is a definite. You definitely want to hit Jericoacoara. Really good backpacker place, great restaurants, really great açaí there, which is a kind of fruity ice cream, which you would have heard us talk about in our last Brazil episode. Açaí is great. I remember, well, the night before my birthday, we, you know, one of those nights you just like have one drink and then it just carries on and you naturally just go out. A very authentic natural drinking night.
Great way to put it.
Oh, it was so good. And we were caught up in this club and like Brazilian music and forró music, which is a type of music and dance. And actually, a cool fact about it, it's called forró and it's spelled F-O-R-R-O because their R's, when it's a double R, it's a ho sound with a H. And it actually comes from an English word or phrase saying for all, because they're saying the dance and the music is for everyone. It's for all, forró. So we were watching that as well. That was really great live session. And we were so drunk on the night before my birthday and we walked about a mile just to get SIE.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was that good.
We did. Worth it. But we spent the whole night drinking caipirinhas, which you heard about before. Very cheap, very strong. Strongest drink. I'm going to put it out there. Strongest drink in the world.
Best drink in the world.
Best drink, strongest, delicious. So we had a great night, but that just means you spent your birthday when we were on a tour. You spent your birthday like really hungover. You weren't feeling good, were you?
I was. And the tour was good, but the start of it, they take you to this tree. So this is one of the things to see in Jericoacoara. It's a tree in the middle of the desert, but it's like sideways because it's really windy. It's adapted to its surroundings. And it's just kind of this tree that started growing up with its root and then just really flops to the side. And I was like really hungover. And I was like, Nick, are you seriously bringing me here for my birthday?
Yeah, it wasn't the most spectacular. But still, yeah, it's a cool place. We'd both recommend going to Jericoacoara. And I believe it was a 6-hour bus journey from Fortaleza, which might seem like a lot to some
really
people.
Really that long?
Yeah, it might seem like a lot to some people, but in Brazil, that's like it's next door.
Yeah, that is the town next door. And just finally, if you are somebody that's into your surfing, are you into like kite surfing, any kind of wind sports, this area of the world is your place. So not only Jericoacoara, but all the kind of places that we're going to hit along this coast, there's a lot of wind. So it's great for those kind of sports. If you're a sporty person, get yourself to northeast Brazil.
Let's move on. So we then got the bus to, well, back to Fortaleza, and then on another bus because we want to go to the beach town of Morro Branco, but you have to get a bus to the nearby town of Beberibe.
Beberibe.
Beberibe. Got it. And that wasn't far. I think it was only like an hour and a half, 2 hours. That was quite close. We wanted to go there because we read a blog online and we saw pictures, and it's got these really spectacular red cliffs by the beach, hasn't it?
It looks really impressive.
Yeah, it was impressive. And we'd say like maximum 2 days there. One day, actually, we did this all in one day. We checked out the red cliffs, which you can walk to yourself. It's all walking distance. Then we spent the afternoon on the beach. And I think that was one of our best beach days. We really enjoyed it because it wasn't too, like, it was so different from Jericoacoara, because there was like no tourists, just a few locals, and a really nice beach. The water was beautiful, and everything, like beers, coconuts, caipirinhas, everything was very cheap, like maximum $1.
I remember sitting on the beach, and I think I had a caipirinha and you had an agua de coco, so a coconut water. And we just looked at each other and said, this is exactly why we want to come back to Brazil. Perfect beach, there's people kite surfing above us, and we just had a brilliant day. And I love this place because, one, it looks stunning, but two, even local Brazilians who live maybe an hour, 2 hours away still don't even know this place. So many times, like, we couch surfed in the next place and we said that we'd been there, and they were like, I don't even know where that is. And it's so stunning. So, you know, you can imagine we were the only foreigners, like only English people and only foreigners in the whole town. So it was really cool. But yeah, like you said, I'd recommend 2 days there and then you can head off to the next place.
Yeah, good times. So, you know, the Northeast has got off to a good start. Plenty of beaches and good times in the sun. Good family fun. So, should we move on? Because then we went to like the next kind of major city. This was a bit of a longer bus journey. Again, like 5 or 6 hours. Nothing crazy. We went to the city of Natal. Amy, why is it called Natal?
Well, I'll tell you, because I'm Brazilian. And
anything
I'm
language,
super,
ask Amy.
Yeah. So Natal means Christmas. And the reason why it's called Natal is because the city was born on Christmas Day, December 25th, if you don't know when that is. So we arrived thinking there would be a ton of Christmas kind of...
Yeah, it's obviously
what's
named...
What's the word I'm looking for? Not memorabilia.
Yeah, not souvenirs. I can't think of the word. Paraphernalia?
Paraphernalia. There you go. Christmas paraphernalia. But yeah, like massive Santas everywhere. And we did actually see some Christmas lights, but I'm not sure if they were left over from Christmas, because this was like, you know, the 11th of January or something.
Yeah,
so. No,
actually, I remember asking, we'll talk about our couchsurfing hosts who were legends. We saw, yeah, some Christmas decorations, and I assumed, oh, it's here all year round because we're in Christmas. But they said, no, it's just this, like, the city council haven't taken them down yet. Oh, that's disappointing.
I feel like they need to play more on the Christmas element of
Absolutely.
Their city.
Screw going to Lapland, you know, go to Natal. Bloody Christmas.
Can we just get you to say Natal in your English accent?
Okay, well, I now know it's Natal, but I was calling it Natal.
Natal.
But as far as Natal goes, like, it was an okay city. Like, it was, again, the city itself was nothing special. I wouldn't say tourists should flock there. But what did make it special was our hosts, our couchsurfing hosts, Gabby and Juscelino.
Or and their Gabby.
Gabby and Juscelino.
Yeah.
And their friend Lani was also staying with them. And we had like 5 days hanging out with these guys. They took us to, again, good food places. The food, you know by now.
Ooh.
The food in Brazil is
talking
the best.
Of food, they taught us about, they were the first ones to show us...
Tapioca.
Tapioca, of course.
Yeah, tapioca is a bit of a revolution. Revelation, I should say. If you are someone who doesn't like bread or can't eat gluten, tapioca, like, it's kind of like a... It's from a root, isn't it, of a plant?
Yeah, I think it's a bit like yucca, you know, where you get the... But you can create flour out of it.
So it's completely natural. You kind of grind it up into this powder. And then when you heat it, it, like, all joins together and it becomes... like bread.
And then they put butter on it and it's great, and you can have it with cheese and ham. It's just kind of like a sandwich. But yeah, you're right, as soon as you heat it up, it just all molds together as kind of a dough. It's so good, especially for you gluten-free people out there. It saves your life. So I was pretty much gluten-free the whole of Northeast Brazil, so I was happy.
Yeah, it was really easy. But Natal itself, again, like I said, the city was okay, it was fine. There's a nice point called Ponta Negra, which is a beach in Natal, which is a really cool place. But the best thing was, one weekend our hosts drove us to nearby Pipa Beach. I say nearby, 2 hours away, but I was well impressed with this place.
So good. Praia da Pipa. It was so good. Actually, it's kind of renowned, a bit like Jericoacoara. Most Brazilians, when we'd met them and we said we traveled around, they were like, have you been to Jericoacoara? Did you go to Pipa Beach? It was kind of the two places that we were always asked about. I would say I preferred Pipa Beach. It was a really stunning beach. And we actually, if you do go there, there's a few different beaches to go there. And we went to Praia do Amor, which is love beach. Because, you know, we are in love.
We are in love.
We are. I love you, Nick.
And I love you, but you love Brazil more than you love me.
I do. I'm not even going to lie about it.
But it was such a nice beach, and you can stay in the town, and it's quite a tourist town, but not as much as Jericoacoara. Quite a hippie place. I'd recommend tourists. Maybe they might fly into Natal, but then go to Pipa Beach, stay there for like 3 or 4 days, or even more if you want to, if you like relaxing on the beach. Again, good cheap prices. We're in the north of Brazil. You know, the south is more expensive. Good food, good weather. What's the problem?
My only regret actually is that we didn't stay here because we just went with our hosts, and like you said, it was like a 2-hour drive. But if we were to do it again, I would stay there for at least 3 days. And we stayed there till the evening because our hosts said that they had really good music. They were there like 2 weeks previous. And the day before we arrived, there was some kind of government thing that happened and they had to cut the music. They had to stop playing really loud music till late at night, so there was like no parties going on. So that was a bit of a shame. I don't know whether it's now come back or whether it was just like a temporary ban. If you are going there for parties, then just check that.
We all got on so well. It was such a good couch surfing experience, and Gabby's English was good. Like, she was learning English, and Lani's was pretty good as well. And like Giselino, when we met him, he didn't really speak any English, which is fine. I don't speak any Portuguese, but by the end of our time, like 5 days, he was speaking quite a lot of English. He did so well.
It was impressive, actually, because so many times we were talking through Google Translate. You know, a sentence can be so difficult. Sometimes you can point to things and it's really funny. But when you want to say something more complex, we had to translate it. And then, but you know, when you play the translation like this.
I am Amy and I fucking love Brazil.
Well, that's pretty much what we were doing with them. And then by the end of it, we were like, we just sound like Stephen Hawking trying to have a conversation with himself.
It was bizarre. But like, until we realized how bizarre it was, it just seemed normal and it was fine. But we had a really nice time with them because I said before, Natal itself is not a big tourist city. Most tourists wouldn't be able to spend 5 days there, but we could because we were hanging out with those guys and their family. Went around to Gabby's mum's house and she cooked some of the best shrimp, like Brazilian curry I've ever had in my life. It was great.
And they had a parrot. Do you remember that?
I did have a parrot. I just realized, by the way, look at me, like I've been converted to the American way. I called it shrimp. We call it prawns in England.
Oh God,
I'm sorry,
who are you?
To the rest of the UK. Prawn curry.
Oh dear. And then also her brothers and sisters came round one night and we had a card night. We're like,
it was great.
I think the main reason why we love Brazil so much is because we're never around other tourists until you get to like Rio, obviously. And because we were there for Carnival, there were a ton of tourists. But honestly, for like we were there for 3 months. So 2.5 months, we did not see another tourist. We were only purely and simply with Brazilians. And I think that's what made it special. Every interaction, we were learning something, trying something new. And I just can't recommend that enough. Like, it's so unspoiled at the moment. It's such a strong culture, strong traditions that you can have a completely authentic experience. I think that's why we loved it so much.
That's completely true. And just while you're on the topic of sucking it off, I was also going to say, from the northeast of Brazil, we got exactly what we were hoping to get from Cuba.
Yes.
Cuba, we wanted music, we wanted good food, we wanted sunshine, we wanted like dancing, salsa dancing, and nice people. We didn't get any of that in Cuba, but we got it almost every day we got it in the northeast of Brazil.
Anyway, let's move on to our next destination, which is just a bit further along the coast in a place called Recife. But if you look at the word, it looks like it says Recife, but it's Recife.
Because their R's are pronounced as H's.
And their E's are pronounced as I's. Wow. So the end of it, that's why it's Recife.
There you go. So let me get this right. Recife.
Yeah.
So another city where it was like, kind of your classic, typical Brazilian city. Nothing too amazing about it for tourists.
Oh, Leo's going to smack you around the face for that one.
But I think he's going to agree. Like, you can't say it has things, you know, like that Rio has. It doesn't have them things to attract tourists.
But he wouldn't know because he's Brazilian, but he's never been to Rio.
What is your problem? But what it does have is what we've been talking about already. Lots of nice people, parties, great food. It does have a beach, but fun fact, you can't swim here because it's actually very common that there's shark attacks. When I say common, it's still like, I don't know, one or two a year. Did you know more people get killed by vending machines than they do by sharks?
There you go. That's Nick's fun fact that he pulls out of like every dinner party.
I've probably said it before on this podcast. But the reason why tourists would go to Recife.
You always do that.
Smack my English mouth.
Recife. Do you actually just slap yourself around the face? Recife.
Yeah. The reason why tourists would go there is because right nearby, it's very close by, is the famous colonial town of Olinda, which is beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, it's really, really beautiful. So if you've been to Lisbon, you'll kind of know that really strong Portuguese colonial style, really colourful buildings. Oh, it's just so beautiful.
And this is the place, right? Listening up, guys. This is the place to go for your most authentic Brazilian carnival. And, you know, we'd never heard of this place before.
Not only can you go to this place if you're a carnival goer, but if you're into your history as well, this would be a brilliant place to come stay for a few days. I'd say Olinda is like the type of place you'd spend maybe 3 days, 2 to 3 days.
2 to 3, yeah.
Because there's a lot of, you know, good food around. And also in Recife as well, which you said is just next door. It's like a short Uber ride away. Really good food. So yeah, I think there's something for everyone in this area for sure. And so Recife is the capital of the state of Pernambuco. And they have a really big rivalry with Salvador's state, Bahia. You've got Recife and Salvador, which are the cities and the states of Pernambuco and Bahia. They have this really big, I think it's fun. Like, it's always kind of tongue-in-cheek, which in English means a joke.
Banter,
yeah. They joke about each other and they say, oh, we're better at this or we're better at this. I don't think people ever take it seriously, but maybe they do.
Yeah, and this was common actually all over Brazil. It's only till you travel it, you realize how different regions are and how much of a rivalry there is. Because for me, like, I've only really known Brazil when I watch them in the World Cup and the whole country supporting one team. But when you get inside that country, there are so many intense rivalries state to state. But the interesting thing I thought, anyway, about Recife and Olinda, again, we said very close together. One is a Portuguese colonial town, that's Olinda. And Recife is a Dutch colonial town. So short distance away, you can see there is a massive difference in the architecture.
Yeah, and that was really cool. So we spent a day with Leo, our Couchsurfing host, who you'll hear from shortly. And he told us about the difference. So we went to Olinda first. He took us around there. We walked through and saw they have kind of like a lot of dress up stuff there, a lot of dolls ready. They were getting ready for carnival and you could see all the preparations because I think that weekend they were going to be having a really big carnival party, kind of a practice one. And
I love that. Sorry. Only Brazilians will practice for a party, which I think is great. Why the hell not? But yeah, we've got carnivals coming up. We've got to practice getting smashed off our face and get in with random strangers. We've got to practice that.
Oh, definitely. See, this is another reason why we should live in Brazil.
Get with random strangers.
No, I like the parties. I can't even remember what I was saying now.
Let's start talking about Leo, shall we?
Yeah, so we were with Leo. He took us to Olinda for the day. He took us around that. He's a very intelligent guy, telling us loads of facts. I don't know if they were true, but he was telling us different facts.
According to him, you'll hear soon, Pernambuco is the best place in the world and they invented everything.
Yeah, they're either the best at everything or they're the best at being the worst at something. They're always the best at it in one way or another. Anyway, he's a very cool guy and he knew where all the parties were.
This guy is an animal, party animal. So let's hear from the man himself. He was always telling us, like I said earlier, why his home state of Pernambuco is so great. So we asked him, why is Pernambuco the best part of Brazil?
Well, first of all, like everyone thinks that the first part of Brazil that the Portuguese like discovered was Bahia, but actually the truth is was here, like was a Spanish guy, and actually it's the true story. So here we are, like the oldest part of Brazil, and everything that you know about Brazilian culture while born here. If you like forró, we're born here. If you like samba, the orange of samba came from coco de roda, that is a genre from Pernambuco. We have at least like maybe 10 genres or in rhythms that is from Pernambuco. Like I could tell you guys, but would be like a half hour speech. But basically, when you think about Brazil, everything was born here. So we are colonized by Dutch and Portuguese. So we, at the same time that we look like a Portuguese kind of descendants, so we have lots of buildings that look like a Mr. Name. So it's pretty awesome. And Pernambuco people is really proud of it. We have a really unique cuisine and everything. I'm really sorry for the rest of Brazil, but we are dope. And I want to thank you all, and I hope you enjoy like their podcast. They are awesome. And, I hope to see you guys around here. The carnival is the best, of course, because when you go to Salvador, they just have axé. When you go to Rio, they just have samba, and you have to pay a lot to see like the carnival parades in Rio, and you have to pay a lot to enjoy the music in Salvador. And here is everything for free, and we have like almost like 16 stages during carnival, and each stage with a different kind of music. So it's for everyone. It's very democratic. So this is Pernambuco, you know.
So you were saying about the cuisine. You have very good cuisine here. So what sort of things can someone find here?
You can try bolo de rolo. Bolo de rolo, it might like a roll cake, but actually isn't roll cake, right? The layers are way thin and is made with guava paste in the middle. And it's really, really, really good. We have other dishes like galinha cabidela. I know it might sound disgusting, but it's pretty good. Actually, I'm vegetarian. I couldn't say it. Galinha cabidela is like chicken cooked in the blood of the chicken.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't say it because I'm vegetarian. So, yeah, it's pretty good too. Our bartender, they just said, oh, the caipirinha is ready. You guys have another question?
Oh, yeah. I'll get the caipirinha. You keep talking.
So, yeah, we have a very unique cuisine here. Like, the seafood here is also pretty good. We have the best tapioca that you can find it. I don't know if you guys know what is tapioca is, but it's manioc flour. And the best is here. Like, anyone can say it.
And finally, since we've been with you in the city of Recife, we're doing a few parties. Can you explain to people Tuesday nights, Thursday nights, and the whole weekend?
Yeah, sure thing. The thing is, here in Recife, you have, 7 days in a week. And basically, people from Recife, we just, like, rest on Monday. I know, we say, oh, what the fuck, you rest on Monday? Sorry, I can say fuck in this podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, good. So, yeah. So, we rest on Monday and we rest on Wednesday. We have a really good party on Tuesday, very traditional one. 11 years on, and it's a really nice old Brazilian hit. And Thursday, we have, like, a really nice party as well. And, yeah, actually our weekend started on Thursday. And then just finished on Sunday, and Monday we take a rest, so Wednesday I rest in the middle of the week, and we just put it on and on and on.
God, I love that guy.
What
I
guy.
Think every time we're with him, he cracks me up, makes me laugh so much. And actually, we haven't mentioned that later on in this big round the world trip, we met Leo in Chile, and then we traveled through Chile and Bolivia with him. So there's more to come. Although you would have heard him on our Chile episode.
Yeah, he was actually on our Chile episode. He played the game with us, if you guys remember.
Yeah, so that's him. But he's so funny. And like he said, Pernambuco is dope.
We are dope.
And sorry to the rest of Brazil, because the rest of them are shit. Can I say fuck on this podcast?
That was basically what he said. Everything you think of Brazil, it was here.
So funny.
I feel so sorry for the rest of Brazil.
I love it. Anyway, thanks so much, Leo. Thanks for letting us stay, for letting us interview you, and for showing us around your amazing city.
Yeah, thanks, Guy. Thanks. You are really good, guys, what I want to say. We had a great time with you. Thank you.
Right. The next few places that we went to were Porto de Galinhas, Maragogi, Aracaju. We get very confused. I'm just going to outright say this now. So there's a place called Aracaju, but there's also a food called acarajé.
Well done.
And so we get really confused. So like sometimes we'd talk to Brazilians and be like, oh yeah, we went to Aracaju, and they'll be like, what?
I don't think that's possible. Yeah. The three places you said, Porto de Galinhas was next, not too far from Recife, and I would recommend this place.
Absolutely, 100%. If you're in this area of the world, go to Porto de Galinhas.
Yeah, really gorgeous beach. Again, it's busy. It's a popular holiday place, but really nice beach. And the unique thing to do here is you can pay, you see lines of people queuing up. You can get a little boat just offshore a little bit, and you go to where there's natural pools in these coral reefs. So you're kind of swimming in this natural pool, and you have lots of fish inside the pool with you, and you can get some really great shots because the water's crystal clear. And that was a cool, unique experience, wasn't it? The Piscinas Naturais.
Oh, very nice. Piscina Naturais, yeah. So the reason that they're there is because when the tide goes out, it leaves pools of water in these specific places. So when we went on, the tide wasn't out so much that it was kind of half in, half out. And yeah, you get these little sailboats. And at the time, I remember thinking like it was quite expensive for what it was, but I would recommend doing it for sure. Because once we'd done the whole little trip, I thought, oh, that was really good and so worth the money.
Because there are a lot of fishermen around. One got a bit close to you, Amy, and slapped you in a very private place.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
We won't go into too much detail, but you just said, Nick, I just got slapped in the something.
V.
By a fish.
A fish just touched me intimately.
But moving on
that
from
was
that.
Weird. And I just want to say with Porto de Galinhas, so how many days? I reckon you should stay there for like 3-4 days. It's a really good stop for beaches. And yeah, it's a really cool place. You can do tours from there. I don't think we did. But yeah, I'd say a good 3-4 days if you want to relax. It's a really great place. But I remember finding it really difficult to book accommodation there.
Yeah.
It just seemed like a bit of a struggle. Nothing was kind of ticked all the boxes for what we wanted. We wanted it close to the beach, but you know, private room with aircon, you know, all these different things that at the time we wanted, and nothing really fit. So for the price bracket that we wanted, I'm not saying it's expensive, but yeah, I just remember it being quite difficult. So maybe if you do things last minute, plan that bit.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like we were last minute, so we were booking things day to day. So there wasn't much left because it is a popular place. But we can see why it's popular because it's nice. But one good thing is we did find a lot of very cheap street food. I think one night we worked out, we had like a big hot dog, some acai. So we'd eaten our dinner and we'd spent, I think, like less than £2 for both of us, like 70p each.
It was actually mental. I think our hot dogs were like 45p each. And I'm not just talking about a sausage in a bun. I'm talking about completos, which is like the sausage in a bun, and they put all these different sauces on, and then they put those crisps on the top. It was like a real meal. You could probably eat two of them for like, and that would sort you out. And yeah, with a drink. And yeah, it was about £2 for us both to have dinner.
Decent.
Crazy cheap.
Is the food good in Brazil?
We
know they asked that question. Yeah, even the street food was decent. So yeah, Porto de Galinhas. Doesn't Galinhas mean chicken? Or is it like...
It does.
Isn't it like a rude word to call a woman? Like we say bird.
Yeah, it's quite rude. Like you do not want to call a girl a galinha. Like it's rude, like saying bird or chick. Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a derogatory term for a woman.
And we're against that.
We are against that.
What the foe.
Yeah, so don't do it.
Next, we went to...
Maragogi. Yes,
you read my mind, or you read the script.
And Aracaju.
Maragogi, yep. We're not going to recommend that, are we?
No, so this actually came from Gabi, our host from Natal. She had another couchsurfing host, and she said that he'd sent her pictures of this place. They'd never been, but would definitely recommend. So we made the journey there because she showed us the pictures from this guy's Instagram, and they did look amazing. Really clear waters, but that's kind of what Brazil is everywhere. So, but we stopped there. I wouldn't recommend it purely because the journey there was so difficult.
Yeah, tough.
There wasn't a main bus that went there, and we ended up getting a colectivo type bus, which is where you share loads of, in like a minivan, and loads of people just kind of jump in and out, and it's super cheap. You pay like 50p and you can be in it for like 45 minutes to an hour for 50p. It's super cheap. but it was really difficult to get there. I didn't think the accommodation that we stayed in was that great. And then once we'd got to the beach, it just seemed like 2 days of effort.
Yeah, it wasn't worth it.
It really wasn't worth it. So I wouldn't recommend it unless I can't think of a reason why someone would stay there.
The thing of Brazil, because it's so big, to get from one good place to the next, you might be doing a really long journey. So it's tempting to stop in these type of places. Because like the next one, for example, Aracaju. We only stopped there because it was like, we wanted to get to Salvador next, but it was such a long journey. We saw Aracaju, found a couch surfing host, why not? But again, wouldn't recommend that place. It was like a city, but it was like a worse version of Natal and Recife. Do you think that's fair? Like it had a beach.
I think it was completely different to that.
Yeah, but it was different because it wasn't as good, I thought. Like it had a beach, but apart from that, there's not really anything for tourists to do in these places. Again, you can couch surf and meet nice people. We stayed with a much older guy. He was a head teacher, and you know, which was a different couch surfing experience, but nice guy. I'm just saying, nothing really to write home about.
No, and I'd always recommend if you do find a couch surfing host that's not in a main city and it's just kind of a random place that you've never heard of, always go for it.
Yeah.
I definitely don't regret going to these places, even though I'm not recommending them. I thought they were brilliant because we got to stay with Italo, the head teacher, and we ended up going around his brother's house and around their family for dinner. We learned so much. I got to practice my Portuguese. It's just all those really brilliant culture experiences. Like the reason why we travel, that's what happened in that place. Yet if we weren't staying with him, weren't brilliant. Actually, I do remember there was one thing that set it apart from other places. Aracaju has a turtle sanctuary.
Yeah, that was good because that's the only chance we've had to get, apart from Galapagos Islands, so we swam with a turtle, don't you know? That's the only chance we've had to get up close to baby turtles on this whole trip. Yeah. Only chance we've had to do that. So actually, that was good, yeah.
I'm trying to remember the name of this project. Oh, it's Tamar Proyecto or something like that. And yeah, it is amazing. Obviously we didn't touch them, but super up close to all the baby turtles that were like a week old. They were so small. I think it's the next best thing of seeing them hatch on a beach, you know, like it's not a zoo. It's not that type of place. They really look after the animals. And yeah, it's a really good project. So if that's really something you want to do, I mean, you could probably go work there or something. But yeah, that was in Aracaju. It's now time for our game, okay? But after the game, just a little shout out. We're going to be talking about Salvador, Chapada Diamantina, which is probably the best place on this planet.
True story.
And yeah, lots of other places that you can go to as well, and Florianopolis. So yeah, we are coming back to this. But first, let's play our game.
Amy, can you please tell us the name of our game?
Sim, comentário de futebol, which means football commentary. Oh, I love Brazilian football.
Offside.
Futebol.
You've got no friends.
Rio Grande do Norte.
Rio Grande do Norte, futebol.
All right, so as we all know.
I think, is that our homemade jingle? I was going to make a jingle this time because I haven't made one for a long time. But
too much effort.
No, it's not too much effort.
Nothing's too much effort for you listeners out there. But look, we thought...
That was a great jingle. I'm happy with that.
Done. Jingle done. We know that Brazil is obsessed with football. And it's true. When I'm talking to people like couch surfers, whatever, other people, the one thing we have in common is football. And Amy just sits there bored the whole time. We thought we'd do something different for this game. Amy is going to commentate some very famous football events, okay? Don't switch off if you're not a football fan, because believe me, this is not going to be like factually correct, or this is not going to be good for football fans anyway. So if anything, it's better if you're not a football fan. Amy's going to commentate. She's going to watch a video on silent. Commentate, and I have to guess from her great descriptive skills what football event or, you know, what game it is.
Now, a quick shout out to my best mate, Adam, who sent me some clips. Because I don't know anything about football, I don't know what are like famous goals or famous games. So he's a massive football fan. And I asked him to send me some clips, which he's done. Again, I don't know what these games are, but let's see what happens.
All right, I'm excited.
Right, I've got my clip ready. So this is the first clip. Let's have a little look. Right, so I'm opening it up.
Describe it to me.
Someone's just kicked the ball. Someone's got a They've got blue kit on. Should I tell you about the kit?
Yeah.
The white kit, I know the name of the guy, but I don't want to say it. But it's quite an old video, and he's just kicked him, and the blue one's fallen on the floor, and he's screaming off about it. The blue one's now talking to the ref, who's wearing a red T-shirt. It looks like it's from South America, actually. Fouls committed. 9-14. Oh, they're scoring the goal, and it's just gone in the goal, mate. It's just gone in.
They scored the goal.
The blue people are running around. They are so happy. And the goalie who let it in...
Mug.
He's a mug, but he's got long hair, and I know who he is, so that might give it away. And his name is something that comes out of a penis.
Yeah, jizz, semen, right.
Yeah.
Okay, so David's... I think I know. I think I've got
Wait,
it.
I know. What do you need to tell me, though? Like, is it the team? Or?
So, they're against blue. So, it's England against a blue team.
Yeah.
And I remember this in the World Cup, and... David Seaman, I think it's... you said someone was kicked. That means there's a free kick. And I remember Brazil scored a very famous free kick against England. It was Ronaldinho.
Oh, my God, yes. That name just came up.
He kicked it from a long way away. And it was in the air for ages. And Seaman's just looking at it like, yeah, cash. And then it went over his head. And it went
Bash
in the goal.
Into the goal. See, you've described that way better than me. But you got it right. So that means I should be a football commentator.
Yeah, good description, Amy. Well done.
Thank you. Yeah, so Ronaldinho, free kick versus England, 2002 World Cup.
Brilliant. Well done.
Well done. Okay, well, I'm looking at the second clip now and I don't even understand what the title says. So, I do now. I do now. It's because it says 1080 HD on it. And I was like, what's 1080 got to do with football? But that's the resolution of the video.
Oh, right, okay.
Right, are you ready?
Yep, go.
Oh, so an orange and black T-shirt there, and he's just squirted water all over his face. Some boy's just walked up. He's touching the ball. He's put it down on the floor, and he's measuring it. It's on the right blade of grass. Oh, the fans are not happy. They look very stressed at this point. Hands on the face. Freaking out. Someone's probably crying in the audience.
Probably.
Okay, blue kit with white pinstripes on it.
Okay.
Again, the fans are really unhappy about this. Head in their hands, really stressed. Okay. He's walking away from the ball. He's staring at it immensely. He's running up to it right now. He kicks the ball into the goal. The goalie saves it. He then kicks the ball again, and it goes into the goal. But the goalie celebrates. So I don't understand that.
Oh, my God. No, I'm stumped on this one. I don't know. Can I now have a look?
Well, this is embarrassing because it's your team, Nick. It's Sheffield Wednesday.
Is it?
It says Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday Titanic penalty shootout semi-final.
Adam said,
very cruel, I know, but Sheffield Wednesday missed a penalty against Huddersfield, which is his team.
Fernando Forestieri tried to score but missed.
It's 1-0, basically.
Yep.
So if we're doing it in football terms, 1-0. Next one. Right, some guys are running across the pitch. It's a bit pixelated, so I can't see this one too well. I think the goal referee is starting to have a little argument. Someone's on the floor. He's in a blue kit, and he's rolling around on his front, and he's crying about it. Ref is kind of... judging the situation, holding his hand up. He's got his hand on his hip and he's someone in yellow is running up and he is swearing. He is not happy. Replay.
He never knows the football game.
Okay. Okay, that's a bit naughty. So someone in white just kicked off a fight and that was not meant to rhyme. So he pushed his head into someone's chest.
Ah.
And that kind of gives it away, doesn't it?
The famous headbutt.
And he was like really angry and the guy fell on the floor and started crying.
Yeah, yeah. Zinedine Zidane playing for France. I think World Cup final, I think. And headbutted an Italian guy.
Oh, there you go. You got it.
That is a famous moment. Well done. It's a really aggressive headbutt, isn't it?
Really aggressive. So he like literally put his head on his chest and shunted him forward really hard, right in the middle of his chest.
Classic moment. That was good. So yeah, 2-0. Oh, I got two there.
There we go. That was the end of the clip. So you got 2 out of 3 there.
Pretty good. Good commentary. And I knew this would be funny because whenever, if we ever watch a football game, rarely together, you're like, oh, there's that man over there. Oh, he's passed it to his mate. He's running over there. I really enjoyed your commentary.
Thank you. I feel like my commentary is better when I'm not under pressure with you trying to guess what game it is. But yeah, I do like to comment on like the guy's hair. The guy with the good hair over there has just passed it to him. And yeah.
That was good. Thank you very much. 2 out of 3. Ain't bad.
Lads. Oh, I love Brazilian football.
Offside.
But you all
got no friends.
Let's talk about Brazil.
Back to your favourite topic. So we're moving on now to a very cool place. We're going to talk about the city of Salvador. Now, I was really impressed with Salvador, and I'm going to sound like a parent saying this. It was a really happening city. But you know what I mean? There was a lot going on, and it just always seemed like there was a party going on. You could hear music in all different parts of the city. It helped that we were in the build-up to Carnival at this point. So again, Brazilians love to practice a party. There were loads of pre-Carnival parties going on. We just walked around the old town of Paraíño, which is beautiful. See people like banging drums, playing loads of music, and we had a lot of fun in Salvador, didn't we? I was really impressed.
Oh, I really, really loved it. Yeah, Paraíño is beautiful, and the neighbouring towns as well. It's just a place that you can just walk around for the entire day. If you're into culture, brilliant place. If you're into history, brilliant place.
Food, Bahia.
Food, oh my God, it's known for its Bahian food. So Bahia is known for having a bit more spicier food, although they don't put the spice in the food. It's like you have these spicy kind of little dishes on the table that you can add to. There's a dish called moqueca, which is absolutely stunning. It's kind of like a fish curry. I don't eat fish myself, so I always had the vegetarian one, and I had a banana moqueca, which is honestly the
delicious.
Best thing I've ever eaten in my entire life. To explain more in depth what moqueca is, so it's a Brazilian fish stew which is made with normally firm white fish. It comes with onions, garlic, bell peppers, tomatoes, cilantro and coconut milk. So yeah, very coconutty, but can also be spicy as well. It's such a good kind of spicy curry. I absolutely love it.
This is the state of Bahia, Salvador being the capital of Bahia. And Bahia is the place that you heard Leo slate earlier saying how shit it was. But we were very impressed with the city of Salvador. This is also where, apparently, the best place is to eat that food, which is either the name of a town or the food. Acarajé, which, yeah, that's the thing to get there, which is peeled beans formed into a ball. It almost looks like some sort of bread ball, but yes, made out of beans, deep fried, and then full of prawns or shrimp, as they might say there, in this delicious, like, spicy sauce. That is proper good street food to grab on the go and very, very cheap.
Oh, I've just remembered a bit of advice as well. When you are buying acarajé, when you're buying that, look at the woman that you're buying it from. Has she got big arms? Okay. This came from one of our listeners who messaged us on Instagram who had just been to Brazil. And he told us, if she hasn't got big arms, do not buy this food from her. Because when they grind the beans, they do it with their arms, like with their hands. And it's really hard, intense work. So unless they're Arnold Schwarzenegger, you do not want to eat from her. Just a little tip.
Very good tip. What I want to add about Salvador is that we stayed in the part of town called Rio Vermelho, which was a very nice part of town, I believe one of the nicer parts. And it wasn't too far to get an Uber to the old town of Paraíño. I struggle with that word. But also we were near a beach as well. So we kind of had the best of both worlds. So I'd recommend Rio Vermelho. That part of town was good.
Yeah, and that actually means Red River.
Oh, lovely.
But yeah, Salvador is such a beautiful place. Again, another like colonial town. So it's founded by the Portuguese in 1549, ages ago. And it was actually the first capital of Brazil as well, Salvador. And you see that all over the city, don't you? Like, first capital city in Brazil. They love it. It's like their favorite
claim
statistic.
To fame.
It really is. And it was formerly and originally known as Cidade de Salvador da Bahia de Todos os Santos.
Whoa.
That was the entire name of it. But now, like, we obviously just call it Salvador.
So what Salvador. Does that mean? Can you translate? What does that mean?
So it means like city of Saint Salvador of Bahia of all of Santos.
Wow.
Cidade, yeah.
We were told to, well, like we are in most places in South America, we were told to be careful here that it can be dangerous and like petty theft and like pickpockets can be a problem. We didn't see any of that, but we were told, so we were aware of that, and we always watch our belongings anyway. But I would just mention that to people. We were told to watch out there, but I don't know. What about you? I didn't feel unsafe there.
I definitely didn't feel unsafe. It felt a bit more unsafe than the places we'd been previously, but still, I would have happily walked down the street by myself as a woman, like, not a problem.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
There we go. But yeah, if you're a party person, like I said, go there. If you're into music, culture, food.
Yeah.
Would it be good for like, I don't know, I think it's good beaches, but it's not like if you want to surf or do like wind sports.
If the main thing you want is a beach, no, it's not. But there are beaches, but no, it's not the best beach in Brazil. But a really cool, fun city.
And stay in Rio Vermelho.
Exactly. And when we were staying in Rio Vermelho, we had, I think that was quite a good, it sounded like on Killing Eve, Vermelho.
Vermelho.
We were staying in an Airbnb. Our host, Lorena, took some time to speak to us because we wanted to ask her, what can tourists do here in Salvador?
The main thing about Salvador, the first thing you have to do when you're a tourist here, I think it's to know the historical center, Pelourinho, because it's a place with a lot of history, and the architecture is very beautiful too, and they have a lot of museums. Mm-hmm. And walking by the streets of Pelourinho, you can feel like all of this energy about the past and the present. And besides the Pelourinho, there is another neighborhood that I really recommend called Santo Antônio Além do Carmo, which is also looks like Pelourinho but have a different view and a different vibe as well. So I recommend these two places for the historical center, and also beaches and the food and bars and mainly music.
Would you say there's a best time of year to visit Salvador?
I think that summertime is the best time because from January until Carnival is the best time because we have a lot of shows, concerts, and it's the time where the city is most in its best time because of the sun and the temperature is perfect. And I think everybody, even who lives here, enjoy the city more in the summertime.
So can you just kind of tell us a little bit about the culture? I know we've kind of said it a little bit, but it's quite different here to other parts of Brazil, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Salvador is the capital in Brazil with the most population that came from Africa. So we have a lot of black people and black culture from our roots in the times of the discovery. So yeah, I think this is the main difference. Because we inherited the dishes and the culture, and we mixed everything like Portuguese with Africa and with indigenous people. So in Bahia, you feel that very differently from the other states.
Thank you to the lovely Lorena, our Airbnb host there, for talking to us about Salvador. Moving swiftly on to a place that Lorena told us about, Chapada Diamantina. And this is a national park that I think everyone in Brazil knows. It's kind of like the holiness kind of. It's like the place that everybody dreams of going to in Brazil. When I say holiness, I don't mean it's a religious place. It's just kind of like Holy Land, you know. But I don't know anyone from Europe that knows about this place. And then equally, as we left Brazil, no one in the rest of South America knows about this place. But honestly, and I do not say this lightly, this is my favorite place on this planet.
You said that about Galapagos?
Oh, yeah.
I don't say that lightly.
I like them both a lot.
But no, that shows how good Chapada Diamantina is. It's amazing.
It's so good. So yeah, it's a national park. And the first great thing to mention is it's not one of those national parks you have to pay to get in, because it's free because it's nature. And we all have equal rights to this land that we live on. And I don't think you should charge to see nature. That really annoys me. I agree if the money's going towards keeping it clean and all of that, but you know, sometimes it's just going in people's pockets.
That's true. Government are like, we can make a load of money from this, put a fence around it, charge people to get in.
Chilly.
yeah, that's Yeah, Chile. Like, there's amazing nature to see, but you got to pay for it. But Chapada Diamantina, oh, wow. Like, yeah, this was, I think, our favorite place he went to in Brazil. It's about a six-hour bus journey from Salvador. Again, for Brazil, that's nothing. And the whole unique selling point of this place, the USP, yeah, like Amy said, it's free. These amazing walks and hikes. There are loads of waterfalls and these like natural pools you can swim in. And the water is like so, so good to swim in. It's kind of, it's got a bit of a browny color, but that's from the iron.
The minerals in it, yeah.
In the rock. But you can just be walking in this beautiful wilderness. No one else is there. And you come across this waterfall and this lake that you can swim in. And it looks like a movie set. It doesn't look real. I can't believe that places like this actually exist, which are still undiscovered, relatively undiscovered.
I mean, I wouldn't call the water brown. I would say it had a red hue.
A red hue?
Yes. It had a red hue. Like, yeah, lots of minerals. So sometimes you go to the water and it was yellow, sometimes it was red, and it shines loads of different colours in the sun. It's so beautiful. But yeah, like Nick said, you can go on these treks and you stumble upon these waterfalls. There was one place called Ribeirão do Meio, which is like a natural water slide down
Amazing.
These rocks. And we actually went, I think we went there three times, didn't
yeah.
we?
It was so, yeah, a natural water slide.
It was so much fun. And I know you find those sorts of things around Asia and lots of different places, but this was extra cool because it wasn't where you pay a ticket to get inside and, you know, there's all these rules. You just walk there yourself, it's free, and you rock up and there's always a guy there that's taken a load of drinks, a load of snacks on the hike so that when you get there, you can buy some food and drinks when you're there, spend the entire day there, jumping in and out of this fresh water. We travelled there to spend 4 days there. We ended up staying for 2 weeks in total. I think there's about five different places that you can stay for accommodation, but the main place is called Lençóis. And I would definitely recommend always going there first. Even if you're short on time, I'd say this, not the best place, but it's the best place to stay if you're short on time.
Yes.
So it's the main town. There's loads of tour companies there that make it easy if you do want to go on a day tour. Because, you know, some of the walks you can't do by yourself. But there is a lot of free stuff that you can do by yourself, which was great for us. We're on a very tight budget. Again, £30 a day for both of us. That's accommodation, walking, or any activities, and food. And we had to stay under £30 a day. That's £15 each, so super cheap. And I'm pretty sure we did stay to our budget quite regularly there, even though the accommodation was a bit more expensive than we would like.
Yeah, there was only one day when we paid for a tour, which is like the main tour where you see the main sites. Yeah, that put us over our daily budget. But I honestly think apart from that, we didn't go over budget.
So in Lençóis, this main area, that's really good for restaurants, especially if you're not on a budget. Like, you're going to have a brilliant time because, like, sometimes True. We were having to make strong decisions of where to eat and stuff. But yeah, if you're not on a budget, then it's brilliant. Anyway, the second place that we stayed is a place called Vale do Capão. This is in a valley in between all these different mountains. And this side is definitely way more hippie. I preferred it. I loved it. And I thought the food was way better in this town. And so what we did, we stayed in the first main town, Lençóis, for a few days and did all the free stuff there, plus the tour. Then we moved to Vale do Capão and we did all the free walks there as well. Well, not all of them, actually. We could have stayed for longer if we wanted to, but we had to crack on because we needed to get to Rio for Carnival.
This place, well, if you've seen our Instagram, you've seen pictures. Stunning. There was one trek we did to a waterfall. When you go up and you get to the edge of this cliff where you look down, I don't know how many hundred or thousand meter drop, like, or maybe I'm exaggerating, hundreds and hundreds of meter drop, massive. But you can peek over the edge and you see this waterfall below you, which is, you know, all the waterfalls cascading over the side. Nice word there. And it was like something from a movie, Jurassic Park, or like Avatar. Like, the surroundings were just amazing.
It was
and
beautiful.
You're not paying anything for it.
And that was Pai Ignacio that you're talking about.
Pai Ignacio, wow, yeah. So that is one of the main places. If you Google Chapada Diamantina, I think Pai Ignacio is what comes up. It's like a big rock. It just looks like out of nowhere. It's just a little bit of land that's been raised up. Bit similar to, I think, what you get in Venezuela with Angel Falls, where the film Up was based. You get those sort of landscapes.
It really is fantastic. There's so many different tours you can do. We did one where we went to a few waterfalls. We went to a place where you can zip line into a load of water. And it's, parts of it were like super clear Caribbean type looking waters. And then I snorkeled in a cave that day as well and snorkeled with a turtle. There's so much to do, guys. Honestly, best place we've been.
Chapada. Amazing. So we mentioned Pai Ignacio earlier.
Pai Ignacio is known for being a really spiritual place, and well, the whole of Chapada Diamantina, because they say there's rocks and diamonds, kind of minerals under the rock. So it's a really emotional place for a lot of people.
Crystals, the crystals, energy.
Crystals, that's what I meant. Yeah, there's a lot of energy and crystals in the land. So when people go there, they actually get really emotional. And we were told when we go up Pai Ignacio, we will find a lot of people that are crying up there. And I thought, ah, okay, like just one of those kind of travel tales that never really happens. And we got up there and honestly, guys, there were women and couples and men all hysterically crying. And when I first saw her, I thought, oh my God, what's happened? Because her boyfriend was, you know, putting his arms around her and she was really upset, it looked like. And then I realized what was going on. And the guys started to cry as well, but they just seemed so emotional. And another time we did our own walk. This was when we nearly died, Nick, from dehydration.
That is actually true. Bring more water than you think you need.
Always bring more water, guys. And I am joking, like, oh, we nearly died. But actually, I'm being dead serious. Nearly died. I've never felt that dehydrated. We kind of lost our sight a little bit.
Seriously.
Honestly, we were running down the mountain. We ended up running down the mountain because we knew we were quite far and we needed to get there quickly. And I started to lose my sight. Everything went really blurry and really bright. And I couldn't see the steps that we were going down on. And it was really dangerous. So always bring more water. We were on a 12-kilometer hike up and down. And we definitely didn't have enough water. Anyway, when we got to the top view, it was stunning. This was from Valle do Capão. And it's like the main waterfall that you go to there. And we got up there. And a girl, she was just like happily taking her photos for the gram. And then, honestly, 2 seconds later, she was sat down crying, like full tears coming down. And like, everyone's trying to console her. And I was like, this is all a bit weird, yeah, isn't it? Like, I feel emotionally connected to this place. It's such a stunning place. And I just feel really grateful and at peace. And I feel really happy. But I wouldn't say it's the energy and the crystals in the land. Like, it was just a really great part of our trip and I just felt really grateful to be there.
Amazing. Whether you believe in hippie crystals or not, it was
hippie crystals.
So good. Chapada, as far as travel goes, I think it's the best kept secret in the world, but not anymore.
I agree. That's really nice. Best kept secret. I like that. That is the perfect way to describe it. Because like Galapagos is equally as great, but you know,
everyone knows about it.
Everyone knows about it. It's not a secret, is it? Took a long bus journey to Nick's favourite place, well, favourite name of Brazil.
You hate it when I say this. I spoke to Brazilians and this is how you pronounce it. Belo Horizonte.
Right, I'll tell you what my problem is with the way he says this. He says Belo Horizonte. Like, if you were saying it in Spanish, basically, it would be Horizonte. So that it's T-E at the end. And he says Belo Horizonte. But it's Belo Horizonte. It's like a che, rather than what I think it is anyway, not ch, Belo Horizonte. God, it sounds so ugly.
Anyway,
this is in the state of Minas Gerais, and this is the state that's most famous. We said this about Bahia, but it's famous within Brazilians for having the best food.
Yeah, like proper authentic Brazilian food rather than Bahia's like the spicy seafood. And we had a particularly good cachaça. We spoke about cachaça before. It's the local spirit or alcohol. We had a banana cachaça. I could drink that straight all day. It was delicious. But with Belo Horizonte. We said this before with some other cities we've been to, but again, it's fair. Not the most tourist, not friendly. Friendly is the wrong word. Not the most touristic city. There's not great sights to see. But I think you said, Amy, you can tell it would be a good city to live in.
Oh, definitely. And actually, since coming out of Brazil, we've met a girl called Lulu from France, and she's living there right now, and she loves it. She's living in Belo Horizonte, and it just seems like a really good place to be a student, but not because of like nightlife. Well, we were there pre-carnival, so we were in street parties there. It was great.
Good parties.
Great vibes. You know, everybody's ready to party. Everybody's dressing up, and it was really good. But we stayed with Airbnb hosts, Edgy and Iada. And they took us to this pre-carnival party, and they were so much fun. A really great couple who are really interested in travel and meeting other people from different cultures and showing you their city. So if you are going there, message us and we'll send you their profile, because it would recommend it.
They even had carnival costumes for us.
Yeah.
So we had a great time with them guys. And yeah, like, it was a nice city. But like we said, we can't really say, oh, you must go here, you must go here. Just enjoy the city, you know, mix with the locals, eat the lovely food, and then move on.
I would recommend for the, like, 3 days, you probably would have done everything you wanted to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so moving on. So we're actually jumping quite far now, because from Belo Horizonte, we went down to Rio for Carnival and then Sao Paulo for the rest of Carnival with other friends. But we are doing a separate Carnival episode, which will be out soon. It's a mini episode. We've actually already recorded it, and it will give you a ton of research, so you know, because we found Carnival to be quite difficult. Like, we didn't know what was going to happen until we got there and spoke to local people. Online, we didn't find that great of information. So we break it down for you. If you want to go to the Samba Drome, we tell you what to do. If you want to go to the street parties, we tell you what to do. So what to wear, you know, what music you're going to find, everything. It's all packed into this little mini episode, and that will be out shortly.
Yeah, that was a really fun episode as well.
And we loved Carnival, so it's all positive vibes. We've got some Carnival music in there as well. It's great. Right, Florianópolis? So we are jumping right south, and this is in the state of Santa Catarina.
Good knowledge. That's not even written down.
I know my stuff, mate. Don't worry. It's a beautiful place. If you are short on time, well, this is known for being like the most European place in Brazil. It's beautiful. If you're short on time, it's kind of got a bit of everything, because it's an island, so it's got beaches, it's got sand dunes, it's got nature, walks, forests.
Cities.
It's got everything. And we stayed with some brilliant couch surfing hosts, Gracie and Danielle.
We did. These guys, again, just lovely. I just think it's a common theme in Brazil. Just Brazilian people are lovely. So in the short time that we were in Florianópolis, we thought that it looked a bit like paradise, to be honest, like a bit of a paradise to live in. So we asked both Gracie and Danielle, is this the best place to live in Brazil?
For me, for sure, it's the best place in Brazil to live. But for you, I don't know.
No, yeah, I think Florianópolis is the best place when you see, like, safe, yeah, health and education and nature and natural beauties. Yeah, this is the best place. But there are some problems, like traffic. It's huge. The traffic here is really bad. And
Structura?
Yeah, like, ways to go.
Infrastructure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it could be much better. If we, like, we go to other states, we see that, oh, it could be like this, like more ways. We only have one bridge to go from the continent to the island. Mm-hmm. Then only 4 lanes. Mm-hmm. And it's huge, the traffic in the morning, the afternoon. So that's, I think, it's the worst.
Prefer Curitiba.
Work and to, like, daily, I prefer Curitiba.
Mm-hmm. We've never been there, so how is it different to Florianópolis?
Infrastructure? Mm-hmm. It's much better. You have, like, if this way is blocked, then you have 5 other ways to go. That's, I think, it's the biggest.
The only thing that's better is this.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
No.
It's so cold. The people are
comparing
cold
to England,
too.
It's warm.
But yeah. In the England, they have good place to stay warm.
Yeah.
Over there, no. Mm-hmm. It's cold inside the house, outside the house. Yeah. It's the same. So
yeah, but they have, like, more job opportunities and
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the city has more. Here it's like, we have natural beauties and the beach and everything's beautiful. That's okay. People will come anyway, so they
don't need to build more bridge
because people come with only one bridge and then it's okay. They will come anyway. They will go to traffic anyway. So we that live here daily, we see that, yeah, tourists come and go, but we live here, so you need to think more.
Yeah.
So can you tell us what can you do in Florianópolis? So what things can you see? What can you do?
Florianópolis é a capital do esporte aqui, do Brasil, é o lugar que faz mais esporte, é vida saudável.
Yeah, sim. We have many options to practice sports and to have a healthy lifestyle. Florianópolis is famous for the capital of healthy lifestyle in Brazil.
Mm-hmm. And the place where there is the beautiful people.
Yeah, they say that the
we
most
had this
beautiful
before we came here.
People live here, but say so. You find people of all kind.
So we've talked about the nature on the island and the beautiful people, but how about the city? Like, is it a nice city, nice restaurants, nice bars and hotels and things like that?
Yeah, there are some resorts. Like the most famous, I think, is the Costão do Santinho. They have the stars, or it's really famous. It's in the north. Bars like P12, we call here in Jurerê. It's really famous.
Yeah.
I think I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah, DJs from Europe come and play there. And restaurants to eat fish, mainly, are very famous. And they get the fish from the ocean and bring inside the restaurant and make it. So it's really fresh food.
Pra sair, é um dos melhores lugares do Brasil também pra balada, pra festas.
Balada, nightlife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really good. In Jurerê International, you have many clubs, so good clubs to go.
Thanks to Gracie and Danielle. And since then, like, me and Gracie text quite a bit, and they were just such a nice couple. I know we say this about every Couchsurfing host, but they were just such beautiful people, and I'm so grateful that we got to stay with them. They were fantastic. You know, they really showed us nice little restaurants, and we had a great time. Oh, one tip, though. I've just thought, and whenever I think of Gracie, I think of this story, because when we told her, she was just in hysterics. So when you go on the buses around Florianópolis, hold on tight.
What is with the drivers?
They are crazy. I've never known. Like, South America is known for having kind of crazy drivers anyway. But, oh my God, this was probably the craziest bus we've been on our whole entire, all of our travels, I think. We were just going on a short journey so we could do a hike to a beach, right? And we get on the bus. As soon as we step onto the bus, he's gone. Like, he is full pelt on that accelerator. I kind of run forward because I knew he was going to step hard on that gas. What am I, American?
We are so American now.
What has happened on the accelerator? What do we call it?
The accelerator.
Yeah, accelerator. And how do you explain what happened?
You're sat down, you turn around and you see me try to walk over to you, but I'm holding on the railings above my head with all my life, and I could hardly even stand up on the bus. You're sat down, you're laughing, you're in hysterics. The guy selling the ticket is loving it as well. He was laughing so much. But
in your hands, didn't you? So you couldn't fully hold
hands
on.
Full, and all I could do was grab on for all dear life and like, my hands in one place and my feet are like the other side of the bus, basically, and I'm not having a good time.
It was so funny. But the guy, the ticket guy, was crying. Like, he was watching you trying to walk towards me, and there's me like trying to stand up to take away a bag from you so you can hold on to things while you're walking. But the bus driver, like, when we were sitting down, I had to hold on.
It was ridiculous.
Like, I felt sick after that bus journey, and I don't ever get travel sick.
Florianópolis, nice place, shit bus drivers.
Right, the time has now come. As promised, we have a special surprise for you. And we haven't explained what this is because I don't even know how to introduce this. I think, Nick, do you want to just kind of go into it, or do you want me to explain it?
I've got it, babe.
Okay.
So do you remember the Cuba episode? I did a rap at the end. Now, I've done something a bit similar, but I've gone even further. After our first visit to Brazil, we knew we loved feijoada. And there was a song on the radio in England a lot which I always thought the singer was saying Feijoada. The song's called Guatemala. For this to really make sense, you should probably go listen to the song first, but the song's called Guatemala.
Wait, let's play a clip of the real song. We can get away, maybe to Guatemala.
Got me going deep, got me all in fresh water. So it's that bit where he says, got me going deep, got me all in fresh water. So he actually says fresh water, but I always thought he said Feijoada. And then I'm thinking, and then I started coming up with some lyrics. I'm thinking, I can make a song about my love for Feijoada. So not have I just, I haven't just written like a little rap. I've written a full on song with like all the lyrics and everything. I've got a full parody song.
And I just want to clarify, if you can't remember from earlier, Feijoada is the national dish of Brazil. So it's that meat stew with the rice and the green vegetables, a bit like kale, with the orange slices on there.
Black beans.
Black bean stew.
Don't forget those black beans. But in case we get done for copyright, I'm going to credit the artist. So again, the song's called Guatemala, and it's by Sway Lee, Slim Jixme, and Ray Stremmerd.
I don't think that qualifies as you.
Mate, what else can I do? It's a great song. I love the song. I really like it. But I've written my own version, and it's called Eat Feijoada. This is way more than a standard food, love. Stole my heart away, it's true, bruv. See the way you look and you smell right now, oh God. Whisper in my ear, keep the recipe private. You want it too, you're not even in denial. Wanna eat it all, you're not even in denial. You wanna get away, don't go to Guatemala. You gotta go Brazil and eat feijoada. If you want more than veg, is an excellent side. But it's just a fraction of the pleasure this dish provides. Hear some people talking about pizza, can you keep that silent? It was very rude, but you didn't mean nothing by it. I had to leave the place in order to keep things private. To stop my heartbreak and prevent some violence. See the way you look and you smell right now, oh God. Whisper in my ear, keep the recipe private. You want it too, you're not even in denial. Wanna eat it all, you're not even in denial. You wanna get away, don't go to the Sahara. You gotta go Brazil and eat feijoada. Eat a little bit, it's the shit, no doubt. Eat another bit, you might suffer from gout. If I'm hungry, then goddammit, I'm buying. It's got more flavor than curry and gravy combined. When it's in my mouth, I'm feeling really high. It goes down smooth, makes me feel full, no lie. See the way you look and you smell right now, oh God. Whisper in my ear, keep the recipe private. You want it too, you're not even in denial. Wanna eat it all, you're not even in denial. You wanna get away, don't go to Guadalajara. You gotta go Brazil and eat feijoada. Here comes the rap. Step one, overnight soak the black beans. Season the pork, you want that real lean. Add beans and chili and mix with water. Slow cook for 2 hours, then hell yeah, voila. I can eat some now or later on. I think about you when you are gone. All I do all day is long for your flavor in my tongue. When it's cooking it takes too long. I can't wait to be eating some. My friends say I need to move on. I can't do that, swear on my mom. See the way you look and you smell right now, oh God. whisper in my ear, keep the recipe private. You want it too, you're not even in denial. Wanna eat it all, you're not even in denial. You wanna get away, don't go to Guatemala. You gotta go to Brazil and eat feijoada.
Oh my goodness, Nicholas Thompson.
Music superstar, who knew?
Who knew? I think you've got a budding like music career there, mate.
It's just like, I spent way too much time on this. And like, if I'd have put as much time into this as, no wait, let me
this
get that
podcast,
right.
This podcast, then it would be a good podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, if I'd have put that much time into us like trying to figure out how we can actually travel and make a proper living, then we'd be traveling for life by now. Because I put a lot of time into this, probably wasted time, but I enjoyed it. That is my song about feijoada.
There we go. Well done. I think you got the rap in there. You told the recipe. Great.
It was a bit off-putting. In the corner of my eye, I could see you were crying.
Oh, I was laughing. I was trying to be quiet.
He did well. He did a good job.
Well done, Nick.
Thanks. We love feijoada.
Let us know if you've got any raps of your own about food. I mean, it's quite niche.
I'm also working on one called Pad Thai. You know that song, Good Vibes? It goes, go away, go away, go away.
Go away.
If you're only going to bring bad vibes.
Bad vibes, bad vibes, bad vibes.
And I'm going to say, you can stay, you can stay, you can come over here if you know how to cook pad thai.
Pad thai, pad thai, pad thai.
Oh,
love
yeah, yeah.
That's very good.
Anyway, that was a laugh. Is anyone still listening?
They've probably all switched off by now.
Probably.
But it's because it's such a long episode. So let's wrap this up. Mark out of 10, Nick. How we do it now, we mark it out of 10 for culture, price and nature. So for culture.
Yeah, I haven't thought about this, but yeah, I'd say 10 for culture. Definitely.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 12 out of culture. 12 out of 10. And for price?
It's a good price, especially the northeast of Brazil. 10 out of 10.
We regularly got our own apartment for like £20 a night, so that's £10 each. That's great. You know, sometimes we've got rooms for £10 a night. I think it was really good. And the price for food, I think it's what food should cost. Do you know what I mean? I'm not shocked at how cheap it is, and I'm not shocked at how expensive it is. I think it's what food should be. It's the appropriate price.
And drink, like beers and caipirinhas, they're cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for what you get, 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10 for me as well. And nature.
Well, yeah. We had like 3 months of beaches and then the national park, Chapada Diamantina, ending in Florianopolis.
Again. A lot of sand dunes.
Yeah, you're right. Brazil, honestly.
It has everything.
It's got everything.
It also has the Amazon, which we haven't touched upon again. You know, we've got to go there one more time to do the Amazon and other places as well. But again, I'd give it a 10 out of 10 for nature as well.
10 out of 10 for me.
Right, what's next? I'm not sure we know.
There's lots of possibilities next. In fact, actually, what I think it could be and what I think it will be is we've been making a little mini episode, a documentary, like the Cyprus documentary made, all about the Venezuela crisis, which is really interesting. We've traveled the whole of South America and every country we've been to, we've seen Venezuelan refugees. So we couldn't ignore it. We have put together a documentary about the Venezuela crisis. I think that'll be next.
Yeah, and it's all about how it affects Colombia mainly because they used to be joined as one country, Gran Colombia. And so we looked at how all the Venezuelan people going to Colombia, how that's affecting their country as well. Because in the news, you know, there's lots of information out there about what's happening in Venezuela, but we thought, how is it affecting the other South American countries? So yeah, it was really interesting. We found out so many incredible facts and we met amazing people. So I'd recommend listening to that one. Don't forget Patreon, t-shirts, iTunes reviews, all of that, guys. Please get involved. I've revamped our website, so go check that out as well. It looks better on a computer, so check it on a laptop.
Don't look
on
your phone.
Not on the phone. You know, you can get full experience from the computer. And yeah, from there, you can see our Patreon. We can see YouTube as well. Make sure you subscribe and touch the bell on YouTube so you get the notifications. And we will see you next time.
Don't forget, you can get in touch with the show. You can email us at whatthefoepodcast@gmail.com. We are also on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we are also on Patreon. For more information on all those things, you can go to our website at www.whatthefotravelpodcast.com.